Podcasting is a complicated profession, which is why we're here to discuss The Bad Batch Season 3 currently airing on Disney+. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by the rest of my Clone Force 99 strike team. Kat Benish is here. Hi, Kat.
Hello! I have a question and a comment.
Can it wait until I introduce
it
the other?
It cannot. Question one.
Let me check the timer.
What was the point of this episode? Comment. Happy birthday to you.
Dan.
Happy birthday to you, Dan. Happy birthday to Dan.
If you've never had anybody sing to you on two different ends of a podcast, not remotely in sync, I have to recommend it. It's kind of delightful.
Perfect harmony.
Well done, Tony.
I'll line it all up in post.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just auto-tune that. Dan, congratulations on making it to 50 years or whatever age we're telling Kat that you are.
Are we rounding?
We're rounding down.
Yeah, whatever.
I guess Tony Sidlar is also here. Hi, Tony.
Hi. You just heard me sing happy birthday to Dan. Hello, nerds. Glad to be back. I guess you can't do the podcast without me. So.
I mean, can you imagine if it was just me trying to rein in Kat for 45 minutes?
Check myself.
It's less fun, though. I need like someone to build energy with. So I appreciate you, Tony. I feel like we have a real partner in crime attitude.
I think we have a complicated triangle of energies is what makes this podcast.
A complicated triangle is the new name, but I'm just going to say
makes this podcast dot, 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 dot.
I think if we ever just like stopped talking about Star Wars and just like did the show, just the three of us talking, you know what we'd call it? Crosstalk. Isn't that a CNN?
You're thinking of Crossfire.
So in high school,
I think you're thinking of the awesome board game Crossfire.
You'll get caught up in the...
Didn't know that one. Crossfire! Come on.
I've never played it. All I've seen is the ad.
The ad is...
Oh, right! I do remember that. Yeah, no. So my superlative in high school was most likely in Crossfire.
Listeners, if you happen to know the game Crossfire, please write in from the 90s. Please write in. I don't know.
Why do we need that information?
We're just curious. Moonlighting was very successful. Let's talk about a random board game from the 90s.
Maybe the reason Moonlighting is successful is because I told you no one knows what that TV show is. And then you wanted to prove that I was wrong. You did.
Do we maintain that nobody's ever played Crossfire? People have only seen the commercial for Crossfire.
I am familiar with Crossfire.
Did you own it?
Did I own Crossfire, the talk show on CNN? No, I did not.
No, the game.
No, nobody owned Crossfire.
That is my contention.
That's one of those games like Volcano Island. Nobody owns it. It's just
Fireball Island, and I did own that.
Oh, sorry.
I don't even know what that is.
I mean, they're basically kind of gimmicky garbage games where they like, how do we take a thing that's not cool enough to be a toy and make a board game around it?
Yeah.
There were marbles that would run down and hit you. I did get confused briefly there with Forbidden Bridge, which I did not have, which the commercial for is also pretty great.
But I do remember the Crossfire ads. I never played it. So you, yes, listener, if you played or owned Crossfire and owned it,
but if you just saw the ads, I do not care. If you've already written us an email, unsend that. Yeah.
We would love to know if you actually played the game. Was it any good? Was it as good as the videos?
The TV show?
The TV ads.
John Stewart basically destroyed that show, which is, I think,
the TV show. Was that Tucker Carlson?
not the game.
You keep switching the game or the show.
Oh, man. Tucker Carlson versus John Stewart at Crossfire would be less interesting than their conflict on Crossfire.
It was back in the heyday of the golden age of debate, right? Which, other than ancient Greece?
No, this was, you're thinking of
the 90s.
It was
1990 BC.
TV technology was simpler, so we could only have two people yelling at each other. If you tune in now, you can get like eight people yelling at each other.
That's just any of the morning talk shows.
Well, we're about five minutes into a show nominally about Star Wars, and I was going to say, the
difference between that and what we are offering right now, Kat, I just, you know, you may be having a look into the abyss moment.
I have not watched any of the new shows in so long.
Have you seen The Abyss?
That's the 1990 show with the CGI thing that comes out.
It's a movie.
I've seen that. Oh, okay. What does that have to do with Crossfire? I'm so confused.
Well, okay, if I may bring it back.
No. I want to understand how this relates.
he was at, there was a slight, there the was new a, shows, the abyss.
There was being, a slight nonsensical tangent that you missed because it was nonsense.
You stare into the abyss.
Yes.
It stares back at you, etc. I was going to say there is a point in this episode where our heroes get caught in a crossfire. So perhaps I could bring it back around.
Oh, do you want to talk about Star Wars, Dan?
Nothing happens in this episode.
All right.
So this episode is called Flash Strike. Hey, and it starts with everybody's finally gets to the Tantus. I mean, I was going to call it the Tantus system, but it's not. I don't think it's called that. Everyone gets in proximity to the planet, except everyone is kind of scattered apart. Echo is on the science ship. Omega is in child jail, and the rest of the Bad Batch and their new sidekick Rampart are on a shuttle.
My favorite.
A shuttle that has to detach from the ship before they get detected.
Can we
surprise
like,
they get
why?
Detected anyway?
Yeah, why does the big ship not recognize the little ship is next to it?
They disable the sensors.
No, they have the proximity sensors, which is why they can't land on it. They still get pretty damn close to that ship, though.
So you see, are you positing the existence of something that is slightly farther away than proximity sensors?
Yes.
Medium sensors?
They're literally... Okay, so in the last episode, they're like maybe a click away from that vehicle, the ship they get onto, and no one pops up. It's only when they land, and they're literally like hovering under it and wait for proximity sensors to be able for them to attach to the vehicle, therefore implying the proximity sensors only work for attaching, and there must be other sensors that may or may not exist that are supposed to catch it around it. Like,
if I may, from a canon example, it's well known that Imperial ships have no portholes, because otherwise, in Empire Strikes
they
Back...
They have Aramis and Athos.
Oof. When the Millennium Falcon attaches to the top of the Star Destroyer, people just look out the window
no
and see
No one looks
it.
Out the back.
So, canonically...
But there should have been proximity sensors to sense the vehicle attaching
distant to... proximity sensors.
Mm-hmm. I'm just positing that they're, in fact, not, like, sensible,
I think there are blind
rules.
Spots. There are blind spots in your sensors, I think, is your problem.
I could take that. So they're blending in the blind spots, and in this situation, they need proximity... I don't...
There was an Imperial contractor who really just, like, phoned it in, and, like, they were actually just selling boxes of sensors, but, like, they weren't really making them.
Yeah, because as soon as the ship comes off the science ship, those, like, six fake TIE fighters show up. And clearly the six fake TIE fighters can see them. So what are those sensors? Because those are not proximity sensors.
Well, they have
those fake ships. Yeah, those fake ships are toward the bottom of my list of not good prequel ships.
Are those V-Wings?
Is that what they are? I don't like them. But they are like, we got like half a C-95 headhunter and half a future TIE fighter here, and we need to sell those. Yeah,
so
they're V-Wings.
Dan and I were in the Air and Space Museum over the week, and they have Poe's X-Wing as you walk into the Air and Space Museum. It's super cool.
Let me just ask a question. Is that cool in the context of that's not a real thing?
They also have a model of the Starship Enterprise. I mean...
Okay, but that, like, do they have that as a... like a history of media thing? Or I'm just going to say, I think Poe Dameron is a fictional character.
Yeah, but I think it's from the guise of Air and Space being the idea of constantly pushing the frontier of travel, space travel and air travel, and therefore showing the upper limit of what humans are currently envisioning as possible.
Well, and getting excited.
Which is a world that doesn't have medical health insurance.
Yeah.
But it's also getting kids excited about space
about
and air.
Space.
And like, people are excited about Star Wars
and
Star Trek.
And by kids, we mean a bunch of 50-year-olds like us.
Yeah, yeah. Also, it means they have a free range to stock Star Wars toys in the gift store. Right?
It's true. There were a number of them. It's true.
Oh, I apologize that my comment that was intended to be a cynical a joke about capitalism was, in fact, just reporting about a thing that's actually happening. Dan, we're not releasing this episode, are we?
We're on kind of a schedule, so yeah, we need to release this one.
All right. So
proximity sensors,
you know,
keep going.
No, regardless of how sensors work in the Star Wars world, the shuttle, which has who's in the shuttle? Hunter, Wrecker, Crosshair, and
Rampart.
Junior Bad Batch Scout Rampart is being tracked by the fighters, and I guess they're going to crash land, and they do something that I didn't quite understand the intent of it with tow cables and dropping people out of the shuttle before it explodes.
Yeah, that's...
was intended to provide some cover for them, I guess.
I think they want to be able to get out of the ship before it explodes. So I'll say, like, having once jumped off a moving bike thinking that it'd be cool. I literally thought of like, oh, I see this in action movies. I was probably like 7.
Yeah.
It did not go well.
They were wearing armor, to their credit.
Not Rampart.
You know, Dan, you are,
no one likes him.
Dan, didn't you recently try and jump over a ledge while carrying a small child? And that didn't work out well for you.
What was this?
I don't think I jumped over a ledge. I tried
How did you hurt your back? I stood up quickly,
Tony. I'm over 40. Oh. I stood
you
up quickly holding a child.
You were hiding behind a trash can in a parking lot.
Okay. That makes it sound weirder than it was.
Okay. Anyway, they end up on the ground through theatrics that seem slightly unnecessary because, our evil scientist guy is like, okay, send out the patrols to like find the bodies and or hunt them through the forest. They are separated briefly and then they reunite. Rampart is real, real mouthy. In a way that's like, this is how you get shot and left dead in the jungle. Also, he leans on a giant monster, because there's always a giant monster.
It's always a bigger
and,
monster.
There's always a giant monster. And then people are running around in the jungle shooting each other. And that's what's happening on that plot point.
And then on the other side, Omega basically escapes out of Child Jail, the vault.
Mm.
Goes up through essentially
turbo lift shafts
with a tiny little
very
box.
Dangerous. Like children should not be climbing around in turbo lift shafts.
There were no safety signs either.
I think it was essentially the Star Wars equivalent of pneumatic tubes.
Yeah for the yeah. for
like
the blood
medical
samples,
stuff,
right?
Yep. Yeah. And then she finds something in some water, and David's
trying the Zillow beast.
I have no recollection of this. What is this?
That was like the one thing. See, I thought that was like the one thing that this episode introduced and did, while everything else in this episode was just like, yeah, we're just moving stuff around. Like, I felt like almost like they wrote this episode because they're like, guys, we forgot to write the Zillow Beast into the previous episode. Can we come up with a new placeholder episode that includes the Zillow Beast? So the Zillow Beast, Dan's reading the Wikipedia article on it right now to correct me, but the Zillow Beast was a giant monster that they found during the Clone Wars, and they brought back to Coruscant. That was a mistake. And there's that episode of Clone Wars where there's basically a kaiju episode where the Zillow Beast like rampages across Coruscant, and they fight it, and I think they subdue it, and they either take it or take biological samples of it. I think the implication is to Tantus. But the Zillow Beast appeared in a Bad Batch episode that you don't remember because it was one of those episodes where there's just a monster. But the implication of that episode actually fits into this in a way that is almost mind-boggling because they set something up and did it, which is not how this show used to work, which is at one point the Bad Batch goes to like a spooky ship and everyone is dead on that ship.
Yes.
And they're dead because there was like a little clone Zillow Beast that like got out and murdered everybody, and that it was like it was
right.
still growing and getting
that
bigger.
Was the
I have
the
not consulted yeah. Wikipedia, but that is my off
yeah,
the top of
good.
My dome memory.
Yeah, I only remember the name because it reminds me of like
I don't totally remember houses. if they killed it or if they like stunned it, but like it basically they keep like putting it in places they should
yeah.
not.
So that is in fact the episode where Hemlock takes control of Mount Tantus as well.
Mm-hmm.
After Nala Se basically says she's not going to help with the cloning projects. And yes, otherwise unfolds basically like Tony said, and that the Zillow Beast is then, I think, brought to Tantus, essentially. So the implication in this episode is that the answer. So that was episode 11 of last season.
Okay.
So I don't know how much it hooks into anything as so much as it's we are putting that on the mantle place and that thing's getting
check,
out.
Check off Zillow so, Beast, if you will.
Yeah, like that thing is getting out and causing trouble next episode is, cool. I think, like all you need to know.
And I think with this, my fundamental... Okay, so advance the plot there.
There's a third part, too, but we'll...
Yeah.
There's Echo.
Oh, Echo.
Echo is still on the science ship, yes. Has to get off, ends up disguising himself as a stormtrooper, which we all knew.
He should have probably also been doing the disguise with the hand
the
entire
great, yeah,
time.
A great moment where he shoots a droid and then takes the droid's hand and attaches it to his little probe hand, which is awesome.
I like that... Was that droid... That droid seemed like he was basically the same model and personality
AP-7.
As the Imperial... Yeah, is
with
it AP-7?
Scottish accent?
Isn't it AP-7 from Rebels?
From Rebels? Yeah. I wasn't sure. I mean, I wasn't sure if it was AP-7.
He's an inventory droid.
He is an inventory droid. He's But I mean, but that one got shot. So
yeah, no, it's not the same exact droid. It's the same model.
Okay, the same model. Yeah.
I'm curious who did the voice acting on that one, because I thought it sounded Scottish, but it was a very brief conversation. But I wonder, like, Echo should have been using
very
that.
Brief.
Yeah, the Echo should have been using that disguise the entire time. It was just like plug and fit in.
He didn't have a droid to shoot.
Oh my God, those droids are probably everywhere.
AP5, sorry, yeah. I correct myself. Not
I did kind of like that they kind of glossed over it, but it was like, you know, they basically called Tantus and were like, oh yeah, the Bad Batch and Rampart were just here. They're on their way to you. And it was like, they basically like, oh yeah, the Empire knows all about what happened last episode.
You know what? This is one of the things I did appreciate about this episode, which is I think Hemlock makes almost all the right decisions, basically. Like, he is evil and competent, but not like randomly cruel either, which is the other thing. Like, there is a brand of Star Wars villain that would just be like, oh, just shoot destroy the science ship. Screw it.
Now, in our moment of triumph?
Yeah. Or they would blow it up rather than any risk. And he's like, no, we're going to take security protocols. We're going to look for a shuttle. We're going to shoot them down.
We're going to scan everybody
for bodies. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think my issue with this is, like, it was always the question, if this were an Andor episode, would I like it? And I think the answer is, eh. I don't think it advances any characters. I don't think it advances the plot. Like, it's a
nothing
probably fine
really
episode,
happens.
But, like, nothing happens.
Nobody, no, there's no, I mean, and we say nothing happens, it's kind of all action.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is probably, there's little tiny bits, right? Like Crosshair and
Rampart.
And
yeah.
Rampart have a little conversation, and we get a little bit with, like, Omega, like, trying to bring the other children along in her army when she's like, cover me. And they're like, we have no idea what that means. We are children. We have not lived a life of war like
I'm
you. Yeah.
I loved the kids trying their best to do some really, really bad cover jobs.
Bad, yeah. There's the scientists who we get Emery being like, watch out for the children.
Nice.
And jerk scientists being like, you don't need to be worried about the subjects. Right. So
I will say at the end, I think we'll get to is like, because I think Echo's plot at the very end, we get to the base and like has trying to find Omega and then runs into Emery, and he and Emery have a brief conversation. It turns like, I think Emery finally playing on the fact that we know Emery is not particularly happy about her situation. Seems like she's now going to find Echo to release all the children. That was some character evolution. But,
I like that part. I think I wonder how much our impressions of this, and I generally enjoyed this episode. I thought the set pieces were fun. I enjoyed the bits. I loved how, first of all, I enjoy whenever the Bad Batch feels very competent at what they do, and what they do is like some bananas stuff, like A-Team style, like we're going to jump out of this shuttle that's crashing. And then I enjoyed Rampart, as you pointed out, Kat, several times. His screams are fantastic in this episode. I really enjoy how much grief they give him. And like, why are we dragging this guy through the jumble? We just couldn't get rid of him in time. Like, and I kind of find that delightful.
They could do him such a favor by just like stunning him and leaving him propped up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, although he did escape from Imperial prison camp, so he'll probably be executed.
Did he escape or was he kidnapped?
I think if you try to make that case to the Imperial prosecutor, they don't care.
I guess. Yeah. It depends. How good a lawyer can Rampart get?
I don't think he gets a lawyer.
I don't think so either.
I kind of, there's some elements there where I like his sort of, you know, he is trying to deal with this, as Crosshair points out, like, you know, like he tells Crosshair, like, essentially, what are you trying to fight the Empire? Like, it's pointless, right? Like, he's kind of given up. And so I kind of enjoy this aspect. I have no idea where that character is going. I don't think he gets a redemption, but it feels like...
I would love him to be the leader of the revolution. He is Nemec's father.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's interesting stuff there, but like, I think what I was gonna say was, I wonder how much their impression of this would change if it had been packaged as a two-parter with the finale.
Yeah,
because it feels like act one of the two-part finale to me.
I agree,
and I think they're just trying to stretch it out a little bit. So it is a very action episode.
It is very weird to basically take. We had our villain from a previous season, and like, now we're dragging him along as our hostage, right?
It feels a little
episodes.
It reminds me a bit of Callus from Rebels, which again, it's a dynamic I kind of enjoy, where you have this guy, and I just don't entirely know where they're going with it, but I'm kind of enjoying it. We had the Zillow Beast put out there. I really enjoy, and Kat, you pointed out this last week with Omega's body language. She has some great moments here too. Like, I loved at the end when she comes back and she's like, I've got a plan. Like, she's very, like, full-on mastermind now. I'm really loving it.
With a bunch of, like, 8-year-olds.
I know. I find that
it is pretty funny. That part's funny. And I do like, I'm going to be curious to see if Rampart is going to betray the Bad Batch.
Yeah, I wonder about
that, was a fake out, if we're actually going to see Rampart stick to them. I was expecting, actually, Rampart and Crosshair talking about actually be foreshadowing for Crosshair, of, like, Crosshair sort of sacrificing himself. But
Rampart's line is essentially, I'm on my own side. That's all I care about. Yeah. And so what we're going to expect from him is to save his own skin.
Exactly. But the question is, will he?
Yeah. Will he decide that maybe saving his own skin is better to stick to the Bad Batch?
Yeah. I mean, we haven't really seen Rampart. I mean, Rampart is literally a guy who ordered the destruction of a city.
Yeah.
But I guess there's the, like, what if he sees the Empire do it? What, for example, what will he do when he finds out, like, oh yeah, this is the place where we put children in jail?
Yep.
Right. Like, and that links in a bit with Emery, which is, you know, Emery's discussion with Echo, where she's like, I'm just following orders, and Echo's like, I've heard that before.
I
think that's sort of a similar thing with Rampart, is like, well, I was basically told to blow up this city and I just did it. And yes, you should absolutely question that order if it comes along. But there is a point to say, like, maybe he is seeing the Empire for what it is. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe there's an opportunity for him to make a different choice. It may not lead to his redemption, but it may lead to a different choice.
I just hope they don't kill him. I would like to see him either. I don't think he's going to go through a character arc as much fun. That'd be one episode, this kind of show. I don't think it's going to happen. But I'd like to see him survive and sneak away, because he's a character that I really enjoy, and I hope we see in other franchises, right? I would like to see him to continue. But I was actually envisioning, like, well, what if he goes back with them and sets up, like, a restaurant on Pabu? What would that be like?
I kind of fundamentally enjoy the idea also of the people who leave the Empire, like, and are kind of still floating. I mean, this guy was an admiral, right? Like, and, like, you know, there are certainly a lot of rebellion officers who are former Imperial officers. Mm-hmm. Like, how else do you get military officers at this point? I'm just kind of intrigued to know, like, as with many of these characters, whether this person pops up in canon again, and in what
form.
So here's my one concern. We got one episode left.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's like 22 minutes or 45 minutes or
it
what.
It feels like it needs to be longer.
There's a lot.
There is a lot to hang on this episode. And I'm kind of worried about kind of how much they have left to do and how much they're going to leave.
I know.
For a series finale.
And how is the Mandalorian going to get into it?
I know, you know. But, like, a series finale with, like, you know, we don't know what the next Star Wars is for a while. Also, we don't know what the next animated Star Wars is. People keep asking, like, are we going to see Snoke in a tube? Are we going to see Baby Yoda in an aquarium? And it's like, I don't even know if they're going to finish the stuff they've introduced, let alone introduce more things.
It is weird because I do think that fundamentally, if you told me this was a season finale, I'd be like, oh, yeah, this pacing seems right on. But a series finale is weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
It's going to have to be a 45-minute episode. I think you guys are right. They can't do this in 22 minutes. It'd be absurd.
I hope it's longer than the normal length.
Yeah, if they do 22 minutes, then, like, shame on them for the pacing, because they're like, they could have spent less time in the swamp with what's her name?
Fennec Shand.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to go to the bayou.
Yeah.
I don't know. I agree with you both. I think it feels like he deserves a longer send off here, especially for all the time we've now invested with these characters and this plot line. It feels like it has earned itself a good big finale.
Or they all
die. I'm a little nervous, but we'll see. We do have, I mean, we know what we have the things coming on May
Tales of the Empire.
Yep.
And I feel like there has been, started to be kind of ramping up the mentions of news stuff for the Skeleton Crew show. I've seen mentions of that.
Well, we know the Acolyte is happening next month.
Got the Acolyte. So we have some more Star Wars. Yeah. It's just Star Wars in this era and animated Star Wars.
The animated Star Wars world,
our Star Wars for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And does feel like kind of its own thing, too, still, with Clone Wars, Rebels, this. Like, it has its own continuum to it that is related to stuff in the main continuum, but it seems to be like,
yeah, in some ways though, it feels like bizarrely the most canon work is in anime, and I think that's the role of Filoni, that we assume that, or at least I feel that way, versus these one-off shows.
But I mean, there's just so many episodes of it, right? Yeah. There's so many minutes of animated Star Wars.
One episode left, we'll see. It was a good episode. I enjoyed it. I was just sort of like, I was expecting more for the penultimate episode.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Same.
All right. Do we move on to letters? Is there anything else we want to talk
about?
Let's do it.
Okay. As a reminder, if you'd like to send us letters, you can send us email at acp@theincomparable.com. We have a few emails this week. Let us start with an email from Michael.
Hi, Michael.
I have multiple emails from multiple Michaels this week, as always.
This is the Michael show.
Hello, nerds. I've been wondering whether Omega is trans as opposed to having her gender genetically engineered. I'm 62 and I'm very familiar with Moonlighting, but never watched it. The necessary postscript to every single email. I mean, it's an interesting question, one that I think this show is probably does not want to stick its foot into. I don't think it necessarily matters. I think, you know, she is presented as female, and that is their identity, whether it was chosen or engineered. It seems likely, based on the text of the show, that she is intended to be female.
But I will say,
you can read into it if you want. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it is an interesting question in this setting where we have these millions of soldiers that are genetically designed and built and engineered mainly to die. Mm-hmm. Like, why do they even get a gender? why do they have individual personalities at all? And the answer is, well, we give them just a little bit because it makes them better at fighting robots.
Or you couldn't get rid of them.
Yeah. Yeah, mainly it's for fighting the robots, I don't know.
It's an interesting question. I think if we were given more time with Omega, I'd be... If they want to go down that path, it'd be interesting to explore.
That is why I keep thinking they have to, like... There's so many stories they need to wrap up in this next episode. Yeah. It feels impossible to wrap up the Omega, like, the end of the Omega story, right? And so, like, it just seems like this whole show was kind of predicated on... Omega is important in some way.
Yeah.
And are we done with Omega in this show, or is Omega going to pop up in other things, right?
So. I don't know, but it does. I agree. Yeah. I agree with all that.
But I hope we end it somewhere. Like, I don't want every time we see Omega, the Empire is chasing Omega.
Here's my headcanon. The actress who voices Emery is a fairly well-known actress, Keisha Castle-Hughes, who is a New Zealand actress and has been in... She was in Game of Thrones, I think, among other things. I kind of wonder if her voicing Emery is a indicator that she could play a grown-up Omega in live action.
Mm.
Don't know. Just throwing that out there. As an actor who has definitely worked in live action as well as voicing animation.
Yeah. I mean, the introduction of the Emery character effectively this season, or the very end of last season, this season, that kind of raised a lot of questions that they also have not shown any interest. Because it's like, Emery could have just been a sympathetic scientist.
Yeah.
It could she could have just been, hi, I'm the one Imperial with a conscience who has concerns about experimentation on unwilling children that we pay bounty hunters to kidnap. She did not need to be a clone. So
right. And Echo even reinforces that here for us, reminding us that she is a clone in this episode.
Yeah.
I appreciate the confirmation that she's in fact a clone. I think we had confirmed that. Well, it was a conversation we had previously, and you guys told me I was wrong, and I appreciate it. Yes, I was wrong, that she definitely is a clone. But God, they also reminded the viewers in this episode of that.
I wasn't sure if we know, is she, do we know? We don't know, really. Is Emery the only scientist clone?
No.
You know, well, all the other scientists, it kind of, I mean, it's hard to say because they all have those dorky scientist glasses, but it's like, they're at least not good pals with Emery at the very least.
No,
that
other
lady hates her.
Oh, she's kind of a
yeah. But I mean, so I don't know. Are there any other Emery clones walking around? Do the other scientists hate Emery? But do they know that Emery's a clone? Is that why they hate her?
I posit the only thing weirder than having one female clone is having two female clones, which just seems really random. Like, one is like, we engineered it for a special purpose. Two is like, well, we ended up with two.
Yeah.
Anyways, interesting thoughts. Brian writes in, Hello, ACP. I have been listening to Delusions of Grandeur, who has recently begun their reading of the Shadows of the Empire book and talking about the video game that you also recently talked about on episode 79. I think it would be great for the five of you to have a general Star Wars conversation and feel the mix of hosts can bring a good set of perspectives on Star Wars topics. If you could invite others to your show, are there any particular people you would like to get to join in your conversation as a members-only perk or just a special one-off? Kat is smiling, and I am worried about what that means. I think I know, but I also hate it. Go.
No. I mean, so Tony and Dan don't know this. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts outside of, like, I mean, so, okay. So if I could have anyone on this podcast, I would want one of two people. Tony is laughing because it's based on, like, I listen to three podcasts. I listen to Marketplace with Kai Rizdal. I listened.
Not available.
No,
maybe Kai Rizdal is a huge Star Wars fan.
I would actually have Kai.
No, it's actually Kimberly.
Kimberly.
Is a huge sci-fi
fan. Yeah, I would have Kimberly. I would do Kai Rizdal or Kimberly with me. That would be awesome. They're amazing and brilliant and fun. And then two, just like you guys. And then I listen to a podcast about Brandon Sanderson, which, like, you guys don't want, but is really fun. And then I listen to, like, my favorite podcast in the world is, like, a bunch of Australian
complicated
comics
profession.
Being absurd. Ben Jenkins. Ben Jenkins from Dragon Friends.
I knew you were
going to
say Ben Jenkins.
Like, 100%. And for those who know me in the real world versus, like, my podcast, like, I find him highly irreverent and funny, and I model a lot of my own podcasting based on him.
I admire Ben. I think he has no interest in doing any business with us. Although we do have friends who know who have interacted with him, unfortunate.
We could probably get him.
That is the nicest thing you can say about Ben Jenkins. He has no interest in us.
Yeah. Those are my two. Kai Rizdal, Kimberly Adams.
Kimberly Adams, yeah.
Or yeah, Ben Jenkins. Those are my three. How about you guys?
I don't like anybody.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was coming.
Molts.
I love John.
Hi, John.
What if you replaced Kat with John Molts and you replaced Tony with I don't know, Guy English?
And then we talked about Star Trek again. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
sounds vaguely familiar.
That was just the last episode Tony and I did with you. It was just Star Trek.
Yeah. I mean, this podcast is already perfect. I don't know why you would change the formula in any way whatsoever.
Yeah, I have not.
This is the pinnacle.
Don't listen to other Star Wars podcasts. I don't even listen to this podcast. No, I don't know why. I'm more interested in thinking about it, I guess, than hearing other people's thoughts about it. If that makes sense, I'm not sure. Or I'm more interested in talking to you guys about it than I am in hearing other people I don't know talk about it.
Dan doesn't like podcasts in general. He's one of those podcasters who's like, I don't care for podcasts. I just listen to Jungle Sounds at home.
because we have a small child, and that's all that we have access to.
That description was based on an actual interchange I had with a nominally human being who derisively was too cool to like music.
Wait, really?
Anyway.
Just listen to Jungle Sounds?
Yeah, he was like, I'm really into, like, whale noises and, you know.
First of all, and whale noises are not jungle sounds.
And forest soundscapes.
I'm
not into human music.
I will say, during the pandemic, I got really into Headspace, and there's a lot of really good pieces there about, you know, the sound.
Look, I don't want to say anything bad about whales. I just think that if you're going to say, like whales better than all human music.
Well, I mean, Star Trek 4 is the best Star Trek.
Yes, it is.
Star Trek 6. Well, Star Trek 4.
No,
Star Trek 4.
No, you're thinking, you're thinking of Star Trek 4.
Yeah. Whales over Antarctica.
So any day.
I was trying to think about this.
So, can we get any whales on the podcast? You're in charge of booking.
No, I don't. I can't do whale noise.
That's more of a Wookiee than a whale. Yeah.
It's a Wookiee riding a Purgle. It's fan fiction writes itself. I was thinking for a moment, is the people I like, I thought about, would I want anybody involved with the creation of these things? Because I do think it would be interesting to talk to somebody like...
What if you're like mom on or something?
What's that?
Your mom.
Yeah.
What?
Dan, you don't want to say nice things about your mom? What's wrong with you?
I don't think she wants to talk about Star Wars. I don't think she wants to listen to me talk about Star Wars any more than she already has.
I think she'd like to know how you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I just literally saw her today.
Oh, well, you know, but things happen, Dan. You're okay. You know.
So you don't want anyone else in this podcast.
So what I was trying to say was I debated
honestly,
whether there were...
this podcast could use a few fewer people. I don't want to...
It was better when it was just me.
I think sometimes subtraction may be more important than addition. I'm
just imagining Tony. Oh, sorry, Dan doing.
This is the only letter we got.
It's
right?
A complicated profession. I'm Dan Morn, and I'll be talking to you for the next 60 minutes about just Star Wars. Just
there
myself.
Are podcasts like that cat. I mean, you know, there are, those exist. So.
Yeah, Dan, we're just looking at you now, Dan. Who would you invite on?
I was in the middle of this sentence several times and never finished it. I was wondering if I would want somebody involved in the production on because it would be interesting to discuss with them. But I find that very hit or miss. Like, yeah. A lot of times they are very close-mouthed about things. I will say one of my favorite recent podcasts that involved a creative was the Foundation podcast with David Goyer, who was the showrunner on that. And he was really interesting. He was like, interested in talking about it and like wanted to like nerd out about like production.
I mean, David Goyer is a giant.
He's
nerd,
a giant
so.
Nerd.
What if I just had him on talking about Star Wars?
I think he probably would. No. And then I realized the other corollary is like, I want the Star Wars universe equivalent of Iman Vellani, who plays Ms. Marvel, but is also
Dan,
a huge Marvel nerd.
Yeah, yes.
I think that's you. I think you are the...
No, but I'm not also in the show.
Oh,
like,
I
want the person
Wars,
in the show, but the huge Star Wars nerd.
In the... Oh, what is his name? He plays the fake Jedi in the Ewan McGregor.
Kumail Nanjiani?
Yes, that's who you're thinking of. That, I think, is the closest. He's a huge Star Wars fan, and he's in Star Wars.
I would be happy to have Kumail Nanjiani because he seems awesome.
I feel like if David Goyer was here, I would ask him a lot of questions about Blade 3.
I was
going to
say, you're about Blade again, Tony?
I have a lot of questions about Blade, David Goyer.
Leave it alone. Tony, okay, who do you have? Tony, answer his question. You've got to answer your question.
Oh, I don't answer questions.
He doesn't like
people. Oh, no. Who do you have on? Or who would you remove to as well? So who would you remove from the podcast?
I don't have a good answer for this. You know, I think it would be fun to have somebody on who, I guess... has interesting feelings about Star Wars who has never talked about them. So that's where it would be fun
Barack
to have some
Obama?
Yeah, you know what, if Barack Obama was interested, I would strongly consider having him on a complicated profession.
Strongly consider. You would like
I would strongly consider
you're gonna need
well,
to you need
I,
him to audition.
He would call me up and I'd be like, I gotta check with Kat and Dan, and before I make that call I gotta think about whether I actually want to do that. But yeah, you know, I mean,
yeah,
if
he can
I don't
have
know,
your spot, it's fine.
Here we have now created a podcast with Barack Obama,
David Goyer,
and Ben Jenkins.
And I kind of just want to listen to that show now, to be honest.
Yeah, that is a much better show than this show. It's a good thing it can't be made possible. So otherwise, we just put ourselves out of a job.
Seriously, yeah. The heaven stuff going on.
Good question.
Thank you. Joe writes in, hi, Dan, Tony, and Kat. At the risk of sounding like a troll, here's yet another message about moonlighting.
I struck a nerve with that one.
This email goes places.
People want to talk about moonlighting. That is what I've learned. I know very little about moonlighting other than it means a lot to a lot of people.
Stand by for this one. This is Joe.
Okay.
Joe says, I watched every episode of Moonlighting as it screened back in the 1980s.
Okay. Fair. Good to know.
Followed by, I have never watched an episode of The Bad Batch. We're continuing. I have listened to every episode of A Complicated Profession.
What? Are you okay? Are you being held
Joe, you're
somewhere?
My favorite.
Are they piping this into the room where you are manacled to the wall?
I so enjoy your banter that I don't skip episodes discussing a show that I have not seen. So when new Star Wars episodes are not airing, you have my blessing to pivot to a Moonlighting recap podcast.
I am very concerned that Joe is part of some very unfortunate, unlicensed psychological experiment.
But seriously, can I suggest that for the next member special, Dan should select an episode of Moonlighting for Tony and Kat to watch and then discuss? Just putting it out there. All the best. Joe,
I think we're locked into that.
Paid member since day one.
Wow!
I think we are locked into that. We'll get some blue milks and watch some Moonlighting.
Oh yeah, we should get some blue milk. Yep. Thanks, Tony, for taking a picture. Yep.
I mean, so blue milk is available in grocery stores right now. I cannot tell you if it's good. I took a photo of it. I did not buy it.
I assume it's just milk.
Smoke blue dye.
With blue dye,
if it's
right?
not milk with blue dye, I have a question. Although, actually,
you don't think they juice
is probably very good. Have you guys ever had like
you don't think they juice a blue cow? Oh yeah, I've had coffee milk.
Coffee milk is delicious, yeah. Right? I would love like a blueberry milk.
Is coffee milk just coffee with milk in it?
No. It's like a coffee syrup.
It's coffee flavored.
It's similar to like coffee or chocolate milk or strawberry milk. Yeah. Up in New Hampshire,
for some reason,
they have like whole milk that's flavored. It's so good.
For some reason, I associate it strongly with Rhode Island.
I think so, too. But yeah, we have it up in New Hampshire. It's really good.
Okay.
But I would do blueberry milk.
The coffee milk, Rhode Island official state drink, according to this.
Oh, interesting.
Kind of questionable. According to a kind of questionable website, I'm reading this about this song.
Kind of a questionable website I created just this moment.
Dan, have you ever had coffee milk?
Yeah.
No, because I don't like coffee.
You like
Are you just named something else that's not coffee? True. Yeah.
Dan, you like ice cream?
You like tiramisu.
Yeah. It's fine.
It's fine?
It's fine.
You eat occasionally my coffee ice cream.
Very rarely. I don't it's like important to start.
We will watch Moonlighting and drink coffee milk.
I don't know if I can handle it. Does it have caffeine, coffee milk?
No.
It just tastes like coffee.
So.
I think it does.
I'd rather drink chocolate milk, to be fair.
Okay. Well, I'll drink milk.
We'll get you.
Okay. This has gone weird places. We have another email from Michael, but not the same Michael.
Different Michael.
A different Michael. Hi, Star Wars pals. This email is entitled For Tony - Rendar Follow Up.
Tell me more. I'm way more focused on this than the entire everything we did just
Hi
before.
Star Wars pals, now what everyone has been waiting for, follow up on the Dash Rendar action figure.
He got it from your street corner. He picked it up.
It would have been a funny coincidence if I ended up buying Tony's figure. How many Dash Rendar figures could have been sold in the last month? I actually found it at a vintage toy store while I was on a trip in Ohio. Those Power of the Force figures from the 90s were supposed to make us all rich.
Nope.
Michael moves on. Now that we have one episode left of the series, who is your favorite member and least favorite member of the Bad Batch? You can include Batcher and Gonky in your answers, as I consider them part of the team. Looking forward to next week's finale. May the Force be with you.
I love all of my clone children equally, except Crosshair is bad. He's a villain.
Well, not anymore.
He's the least favorite. No, one strike, Dan.
Oh, man. This is tough. Oh man! Every time I'm about to say one of them, I decide I like that
You have a little tear rolls down your cheek.
Hunter, is he kind of boy? Oh, he's such a good dad, though.
A good dad.
Wrecker, I love Wrecker.
But Wrecker's so and then like I wasn't pro Echo until the last two episodes, but then Tech has got to be the best, right? Tech is the best.
I don't know if he's the best. Like I love.
Echo. Damn, he died for our sins.
Yeah, right.
You know? I was gonna say the thing with Echo to me is like. For me, Echo reaches way back into like the earliest Clone Wars episode. So he's like been there for so long. I have so much baggage with Echo. In some ways, Omega might be my least favorite, which I feel bad about. I was like, wow, but I also
it's
like the
one
last
woman.
Episode.
Yeah, Dan.
Also the last episode.
She's a child. Yeah. Give her a chance.
Oh, yeah. You guys pick a least favorite yet?
Betcha.
Yeah, Crosshair.
You think Batcher is your least favorite?
Batcher. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
He's just a dog.
He's an alien dog.
Know,
do you not like dogs?
Yes. Yes. I
do
not
feel like,
dogs. Like
Hunter has kind of the least personality. He feels like he basically just fell out of the Leonardo machine. And so
he only has a small knife, not two katanas.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just, you know, I just, I look, we're trying to figure out who. Which is the worst of the Bad Batch, and I am using, here's the equation I'm working backward, that I'm back solving to solve this inane question. Which of the Bad Batch would be the happiest hanging out with Cyclops from the X-Men? 1997 version.
Wait, new 1997 version or old 1997 version?
Which one's Cyclops?
Well, old 1997.
Okay,
is that Scott?
Scott Summers.
Yes, that's Scott Summers.
Why would that be your test?
Because he's basically Leonardo.
I mean, Kat, don't try and evaluate this as a thing that's worth interrogating.
I'm so confused. Okay. So you're basically saying who are just essentially the men with no personality.
Yeah, Scott is boring, right? Like,
you've taken my joke apart.
They're usually the love interests.
True. Mm, but then there's always Bad Boy, right? Because Jean Grey, you got the Scott Wolverine triangle, right?
Also, there's only so much to do with somebody who's got no personality.
I never watched One Tree Hill. Let's just be clear.
I don't even know. I don't know what that is.
It's so a CW soap drama, soap opera.
I always
from
get
like
that and
early
Six
2000s.
Feet Under confused.
Those are very different shows.
Is this like when you got the Gilmore Girls and Golden Girls?
I still think Golden Girls is Dan's favorite movie show.
You know, different things mean different things. Did we technically answer the question?
I was going to reevaluate and say, if it's like the person you least want to hang out with, I would agree with Tony. Crosshair.
Crosshair, bad hang.
Like,
bad
I love his Crosshair. Arc.
But great character.
Yeah,
great character.
Great character. I love his arc, but he's not personable.
Yeah. And then the character I most want to hang out with is Tech.
I think it's Wrecker. I think I want to hang out with Wrecker.
No.
I mean, we already kind of hang out with Tech. Hi, Evan. But, you know, it's probably, I mean, it depends what kind, you know, like, I feel like I would like to play some board games.
I would hang out
with
Tech or Omega.
I do love that Gonky, a power droid with no personality,
does not make anybody's worst list.
You can't
right in the
be
middle.
On the droid.
Does what he needs to.
He's
know?
A power droid and provides power. They plug droid. Him in that one episode. It's great. Yeah.
Everyone you know, loves Gonky.
Exceeds expectations consistently. Yeah. Gonky.
All right. Last email is from, and I hope I pronounced this right, Sadir. Who writes, hey kids, surprised no one mentioned Dan's real catchphrases. He suggests several. Bad, like one, parentheses bad, life choices were made. Or have at, which is, it does come up a lot. Dan has also used the Lore Lutz Snell catchphrase, good ol' insert victim's name, how I hate him, which I feel compelled to mention is, I believe, a Charlie Brown reference about good old Charlie Brown, how I hate him. And no, I'm not going to go and listen to all the Incomparable podcasts to see who used that one first. It might have been Dan. Again, it was Charles Schultz. Cats is Squigs, Purgle and Squigs. Hope this eats up time.
yep, check. Good job.
P.S. I stopped watching TV after 1980, except for science fiction, but everyone knew Moonlighting, Baywatch, and Remington Steele.
Mm.
Mm. How,
Baywatch was the 90s, though, right?
How is this person watching 80s. The Bad Batch?
except for science fiction.
Oh, except for science fiction.
Baywatch
okay.
Baywatch is the 90s.
I think it started in the 90s.
Syndicated.
80s.
No, it's syndicated. It was definitely 90s.
Started in 1989.
What?
1989, wow. Dear.
Man. Which was basically the 90s.
In that case, you're basically 60. Yes.
He's getting old. The memory
know,
is the first
I
thing
know.
That goes.
It's hard.
Who are you people again?
It's so hard. We can replace him with any of the people we said and he won't know.
Yeah, it's true. Why? I just keep editing the podcast. I'm like, why am I not on this one? Yeah.
You were sick that day, dear.
All right, Trevor.
Hey, Trevor.
These are our responses on Mastodon.
So funny thing. So we're having some landscaping work done in our backyard, and our landscaper's name is Trevor. And so I keep telling Dan about I was talking to Trevor about a gray birch versus a white birch, and like Dan's like, why are you talking to Trevor for the podcast about trees?
It's not even that you're talking about trees. You're like, oh, I was talking to Trevor about that. I was like, why are you talking to our listener from the podcast? It's strange.
So, Trevor, if you have opinions about trees, particularly birches, let me know.
Yeah, right ACP, in. At Zeppelin.flights, if you want to send us some Mastodon mail.
Trevor writes, people, we need to know what birches they should get.
Yeah.
I suppose I should ask the question.
Is it? It's not settled, right? This is.
We're doing a gray birch. I paid for a gray birch.
Never mind.
Yeah.
This means we get birch beer.
Hold those emails.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're getting so many angry tree emails.
Yeah, if you like river birches, back off.
Trevor writes, I suppose I should ask the question that's on everyone's mind. If you could pilot a ship, which one would you prefer? Millennium Falcon, Razor Crest, A-Wing, B-Wing, U-Wing, Y-Wing, X-Wing, Moonlight Wing. I didn't write it. Trevor wrote it. It's not my fault.
Didn't we talk about this last week? I don't know.
Did we mention it? I didn't remember.
I thought we were asked about ships.
We were at one point asked about ships. Yeah.
I'm going to answer A-Wing this time. I'm going to say something very controversial about the Millennium Falcon. I feel like it probably handles like a minivan. or a U-Haul truck.
Yeah, yeah. I
like,
hear you on
like,
that.
It,
yeah.
It's cool, but like, guys, look at how big it is.
Yeah. All that friction in space. No, I agree with you on the Millennium Falcon. I would probably go an X-Wing or the Ghost, which is not listed, but I'm going to write it in.
The Ghost probably handles a lot like the Falcon.
It's no, big. It's way better. You think about where the... No, the cockpit
is at least in the middle.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Glad none of you picked B-Wing then, otherwise we would have had fighting words. The whole ship rotates around the cockpit. It's so confusing.
Yeah. What would you pick, Dan?
If I was purely limited to a starfighter, A-Wing, but I'm sorry, Millennium Falcon. I'm picking the Millennium Falcon.
All right, well, don't drive it on Star Wars.
Think about the cargo space.
all those hidden smuggling compartments. That's what you look for in a car, I guess.
Yes, it's like cup holders. Yeah. Think how many cups you could hold in the hidden smuggling compartment. Trevor continues, with so few episodes left and so many unanswered questions, I suspect that we may end the series on a cliffhanger to be answered in whatever next series or movie is revealed. Unless the series does a quick wrap-up in the style of The Book of Boba Fett, I don't expect we'll have much closer in these Bad Batch episodes. Love to find out that Omega is being set up for something cool in the future and not that she was Princess Leia's roommate in college. Love the podcast. Oh my God, that would be awful.
Where did Princess Leia go to college?
Did she go to college? I thought she went straight to the Senate.
Did she pull
a Doogie Howser and go to college?
I think it's like Queen Amidala when you're that tutoring. Rich and connected. Yeah. It's just homeschooled.
I feel like if you're in the junior senate, it's a bit like when you're in doing a child actor, like you get it on the side. So there's probably junior senate
tutors.
Does the
junior senate immediately that you're like eligible to move up to the full senate? Because that seems like a real issue.
I think
junior
senate is basically Model United Nations.
Yeah,
but we don't take the people from Model UN and be like, all right, now you run the actual UN.
We don't? That would make a lot more sense.
Would it?
No.
Okay. As a Model UN person, Kat, would you like to weigh in?
Not particularly.
I just want to say that I am not at all surprised that Kat was involved in Model UN. Kat's personality is basically Model UN.
Loved it.
Yep.
So much fun.
That makes 100% sense to me.
It's the thing that deserves me is that you were so into Model UN and also you really liked that game Twilight Struggle.
Yeah. No, that was the one I didn't actually enjoy that.
Oh, you did one?
Where you're Russia and the US? Yeah. I had no idea what I was doing. So I played it with a friend who's like, oh, Kat, it's a quick 45-minute game. And I was like,
That was a lie.
They have not invented a board game that's 45 minutes yet. We just don't have the technology. It's not possible. Anyone who tells you that is lying.
No, I'm much more Sulkin or Wingspan or those games.
The bird model of the United Nations.
Or Monopoly. Yeah. I will play Monopoly with anyone, anywhere, anytime.
This is a mistake.
Wow.
That's our other possible member bonus episode. Star Wars Monopoly, everybody.
Yeah,
it's just Kat playing Star Wars.
Oh, I know it exists.
By yourself.
Yes, because Tony and I are not dumb enough to play that.
Let's play Monopoly. Yeah. It's fun.
No, is it? Capitalist dog. Landlords? Disgust me.
Julian writes in, as long as this was in response to a comment about how Kat and I were on vacation planning our next ice cream parlor trip while eating ice cream, and Julian
is
wrote
this
in,
relevant to a complicated profession?
And Julian wrote in to say, as long as Kat has ice cream before ACP, I'm all good.
Okay.
I did not have ice cream, but I did have two slices of cake, so I'm doing pretty well.
Finally, Lyle writes in with some commentary on the episode. A lot of furniture moving. I'm hoping the payoff is worth it. Expanding on this, I feel like we're watching a heist movie, but edited to make all the flashbacks to set up the exciting payoffs sequential. So we're answering a lot of questions that haven't been asked yet, and I don't love it.
Yeah,
I kind of see where you're coming
from. Structure things.
Yeah.
Again, if this had been interleaved with the final episode in some way, I feel like there's good tension building. There's good setup here. But yeah, with an episode that is in and of itself not a good standalone episode and feels like it needs the whatever happens after in order to pay it off, I agree that it doesn't hold its own.
Yeah.
But again, if you were binging this, say, a year from now, it might flow very well.
Do we know the length of the last episode?
We discussed this. No, I don't think we do.
I mean, we talked about it. I wasn't sure if that information was knowable.
I'm not aware.
It's not on Wikipedia and therefore not knowable.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I am not sure.
What's the episode called?
It's called The Cavalry.
Here Comes the Cavalry, or Cavalry, something like that. Yep.
Yeah. The Cavalry has arrived. Have we had any that are longer other than the pilot?
What's the longest episode from this season?
I don't. Running time are 23 to 75 minutes. So I think it's really the first episode was the only
long and that was episode. Like the one that was kind of three episodes stitched together.
Yeah.
I think it's very possible we see something like that again at the end, like a mini movie.
It feels like it would have to be, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe not 75 minutes, but like 45 minutes feels like a good, it needs to be a double length episode. I
over
feel like.
Under 47 minutes.
Under.
What do you think it is, Dan?
You just told me over under.
You have to give me a time. Under and by
that's
what?
That's not how it works.
Okay. Under, and what do you say? Under what? What do you think the number? How long do you think it's going to actually? Yeah.
Say a number, Dan. Say a number.
I'm very confused. I don't think you know how over under works.
I was like, I want to do Price is Right rules, but it's not. Okay, Price is Right rules.
So closest to time without going over.
Correct. We're going to do those rules instead. Dan, Price is Right rules.
42 minutes.
Okay, Tony.
1 minute.
And I'll do 52 minutes.
Okay.
I'm prepared to win.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
And I'll up my number to 22 minutes. It's a generous, generous donation.
Oh, man. If you got over, that would be bad. 30 seconds wrapped up. Everybody dies.
Yeah. It's a good run, everybody.
Man, wrap it up. Well,
You know, I mean, look at the bright side. At least we know this will have an ending and it won't be. I'm reminded of like famous animation from the 90s where instead the director had some kind of like meltdown and like the last episode is like a journey into his mind. We're not going to get that. So that's something.
Yeah.
Was that an Anno Hideaki reference?
That's an Evangelion reference.
Yeah.
So.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of another episode, and with only one episode to go, you know, we're a little sad, I think, to be saying goodbye to our Bad Batch friends. Kat says, no, not really. I don't want to hang out with any of them.
No, they're fine. I'm ready to move on.
They're fine. It's spending time with us that Kat doesn't care for.
Bad news for Kat. She signed an unfortunate contract. It's called marriage.
I warned you, Kat.
that was just more of a bitter laugh than I was hoping for.
At least you're laughing and not crying. That's something. That's all you got going for you.
We have reached the end of Bad Batch, but we will be back to discuss the series finale next week, followed by our coverage of Tales of the Empire the following week, probably. And then we'll be off for a couple weeks before we return to discuss The Acolyte. Yeah. So
maybe we'll do some moonlighting in between.
Like, work actual different jobs? Like,
who knows? I'm going to leave it purposely vague.
Nobody knows what that show's about anyways. Mm-mm. Well, thank you everybody out there.
Here we go. So I'm reminded of the time. So quick side. So Dan, not playing the other episode show that Dan does, right? He and Lex were watching a movie and they had different versions of the movie and did not realize till like 10 minutes in that in fact they were talking about different movies. We could do the same.
They were the same movie. They were just different cuts.
Yeah, the same thing. So we should do the same thing. One of us watches the episode of Remington Steele. One of us watches an episode of Moonlighting. One of us watches an episode of something else.
All right, please don't say Baywatch.
And then we talk about it as if we're all watching the same episode.
That sounds worst podcast ever.
You're concerned that would, you know, really shake up our by the books ordered structured formula that we've got going on here.
Here's what I can't decide. Is that an episode, do you think, that people would be like, I'm giving up on this podcast? Or have our listeners proved that that is exactly what they want?
I don't think that this could. I mean, I enjoy this podcast, but I don't think it should be a thing where we are just locked into what is going to cause people to break.
Griefing? You don't think griefing is a good podcast?
I did not get into podcasting to be hunted for sport. And I see that as a possible end game as we go further and further down the path of madness.
But if you're committed to a member special, Tony.
Oh, I didn't know that my commitment to the podcast was being questioned. I take it all back.
Well, thank you everybody out there for listening, and thanks especially to people who send in letters. Once again, you can reach us at acp@theincomparable.com or on Mastodon at acp@zeppelin.flights. And a special thank you to Tony.
If you're thinking, I would like to hunt these people for sport someday, make sure to sign up for an Incomparable membership.
That is true. Also, please buy a shirt to wear when you are getting hunted for sport. I recommend a Purgle and Squig shirt. From
They are the finest shirts you could be hunted in.
HelloNerds.shop. Are you right?
Yep.
It works. Other shirts in the works. We've seen designs.
Yes.
And thank you again to all our Incomparable members, and to those of you who are not Incomparable members, go sign up at Incomparable.com/members, and you can support this madness, whatever it is. And of course, I would like to thank my co-host for being here this week and every week, Kat Benish. Always a pleasure.
Thank you both. Thank you, listeners. This is always so much fun.
Tony Sindelar, thank you for being here.
I think this is pretty good for our last episode ever.
It would be sad if that proves true. It's what a way to end.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We will see you next week. But until then, may the Force be with you.
The Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.